And it's a plan that will prosper you. It's a plan that will give you hope. You know, in life, we often get beat up. Things don't go the way we want them to, and the circumstances tend to work against us. Here's the secret. We have to be careful not to assign the bad circumstances as God being against us. Because his word says he's got a plan and it's for good, it'll give us a hope, and he will prosper us. And so as I think about this verse, and I'm going to build the message around it, I read a quote by Benjamin Watson. It's in your notes. Here's what it says. I know God has a plan for me. I don't know what it is. You talk about a starting point. Every person here would say, I think God has a plan for my life. The problem is we just don't know what it is. You can be a high school senior. You might be in college. Maybe you're thinking about getting married. Maybe it's something regarding your job. Is it time to change after 10 years or 15 years? Maybe you're thinking about relocating where you live. We all come to intersections or Y's in the road, and we say, God, I think you have a plan. I just don't know what it is. If we're all honest, that's where we start. And so today, here's what I want to do. I want to walk through four steps on how to get to know God's will for your life. If you're here today and you're trying to figure something out, I hope this message helps. And you can find yourself in these four steps. Because when you practice them and believe them, God will be faithful to show you your next decision. Now, the danger in life, and quite frankly, it's happened to me and probably to you, is we try and take it into our own hands. And we make decisions without consulting God himself. I mean, America is filled with people who are wonderful people, and they are living what could be called the American dream. But the kingdom dream is when we allow God to lead us and make decisions on our behalf. That is the secret of a person who is seeking to follow Christ in their life. We consult him and allow him to direct us. And so we're going to walk through four steps, four simple ideas about how to seek and how to figure out what God's will is for us. Number one in your notes. The first thing we have to just establish is this. Know that God has a plan for you. I mean, we have to believe that because his word tells us that. Jeremiah says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Stop right there. I think every person here would say, you know what? I think God does have a plan for my life. And we have to anchor to that. That's the starting point. We don't know what it is. Sometimes we're confused. Sometimes it's very clear. But we've got to believe that God has a plan for us. In Psalm 139, the verse is in your notes. Let's read those together. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. If you want to do a mind bender exercise, meditate on these verses. Here's what it says. Before I was born, every day of my life was recorded in your book. Now, if you just stop and think about that, how could God know me before I'm born and have a book that records everything? That's pretty amazing. Now, what I've come to realize is sometimes if I get ahead of God or I'm not listening, that particular day or season of my life may not have been what he planned for me. But when I surrender to him, when I look to him in faith, when I involve him in my decision makings, here's what happens. The days of my life will fall into alignment with what he has purposed. And his purpose is good, and it will cause me to prosper. So the psalmist says, wow, every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. That's amazing. Now, the last part of this text gives us an amazing insight of your value to God. Here's what it says. Oh God, how precious are your thoughts toward me. If I can count them, which I can't, they outnumber the grains of sand. Now, I want you to visualize the beach. Now, I don't want you to go to sleep just yet, but visualize the beach, and you can see the sand on the seashore. If you scoop up one handful and you try to count it, you could scoop up another one and try to count that. The psalmist said, God's thoughts toward you outnumber the grains of sand. That is amazing. He has you on his radar. His thoughts are constantly toward you. And he has thoughts, he has a plan, and know that he's got a perfect will for you, and it will prosper you, it will give you hope, and it'll give you a future. Got a couple quotes. I'll have Jack put the first one up. God's plan for my life is simple. He will take all my choices, mistakes, and failures, and turn them into something good. Now, you may be here today and you say, you know what? I've got too many mess-ups in my past for God to even help me or get on the same page. That's not true. God takes all of our mistakes, all of our choices, all of our failures, and he begins to rework them and gives us a better future. So I want to encourage anyone here, if you got a bunch of black dots or spots in your past, we all do. But when we surrender them to God and we allow him to work through us, let me tell you, we can have a better today and tomorrow. That's who God is. It's called grace. It's called forgiveness. So here's the second quote. God has a bigger plan for my life than I have for myself. Let me stop there. Have you ever thought you knew something was good for you and you really wanted it? Maybe you got it, or maybe you didn't. But the temptation is thinking that I know better than God. I can have an I complex where God, I've got it figured out. This is what I want. This is what I prefer. And I think I know better than God. That's not true. God knows better than us what is best for us. We have to trust him in that. It's the walk of faith. And so as you think about point number one, know that God has a plan for you. Each day has been planned out. It's amazing. But we just have to get on the same page as he is with what he wants to do in us and through us. And the way we do that is through grace. His mercy and forgiveness to somehow say, God, give me a fresh start today. So number one, know that he's got a plan. Number two, trust God, he will show it to me. Now, let's read together verses 5 and 6 in your notes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. These two verses are two verses that are wonderful to memorize. You can refer back to them over and over again. But let me break some things down. The psalmist said to trust. Trust is a language of the heart. Now, here's what happened. God's word says he has a good plan for us, but our circumstances are sideways. Circumstances don't add up. They actually work against what you think is a good plan. But God's word says it is a good plan. And so he says, you got to learn to trust that even when your circumstances are sideways for that season, God's still got a good plan for you. And he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Have you ever got in places in life where you lived out of your head? And by that I mean, you have thought about it, rehearsed it, you can't figure it out. You're frying your brain because it just doesn't make sense. It's unfair. And when we live out of our head, our own understanding, we can get into a bad place. I've been there a bunch of times. Maybe you have too. But here's what it says. Do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean on when you can't figure it out. Do not lean on your own emotions. Do not lean on circumstances. Don't lean on your horoscope. Trust is a language from the heart. When we say, God, I'm going to keep the faith and believe you still have a good will for me, even though my circumstances don't add up. Here's a second picture I'll have Jack put up. Faith is trusting God, even when you don't even understand his plan. You might be here today. You got a big decision to make, or life isn't what you want it to be. Circumstances are just working against you. Faith is trusting God when you don't understand it. And faith, as I mentioned, is a language of the heart. And when we have faith and trust, we have peace. When I live out of my head and try and figure it out, I start to lose my peace. But if I have faith and trust from my heart, my spirit is at rest, even though I can't figure it out. We have to trust. We have to live life during seasons with unanswered questions, saying, God, I'm just going to trust you with this. And here's the last one. God's plan for your life far exceeds the circumstances of your day. This may be the biggest takeaway for somebody here. You're believing God for a plan. You know he's got a good one. But your circumstances are against you. It doesn't add up. Trust in God, faith in him, will carry you through until the circumstances change. And so God's plan for your life will far exceed. It goes beyond and above the circumstances that might be against us temporarily. So number one, we know God has a good plan. We believe that. We just don't know what it is. Number two, we trust him to show it to us as we journey forward. Number three, the third step is this. We seek God to discern it. We seek to discern it. So read with me verses 11 to 13 or 12 and 13 in your notes. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Notice verse 11 we read at the beginning said this. God's got a great plan for us. And then a couple verses later, he says this, when you call upon me and you come and pray to me, God says, I'll listen to you. And he goes on to say, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, not your head, but your heart. God's promise is this, if any of his children will take the time to seek him, he will show us the decision we need to make. Now, We all live busy lives, do we not? That is somehow the American culture. We are on the move people. We got games to go to. We got graduations. We got family things. We have job stuff. We are a people on the move. But let me tell you, God speaks to people who will take time to listen. And if we don't take time to seek him, if we don't take time to call upon him, if we don't take time to go after it, we will muddle through it and eventually make a decision, possibly in our own strength. So God says, hey, seek him, seek his face, spend time in his presence. On the back of your sermon listening guide, George Mueller, a saint from the yesteryears, had a method of discerning God's will. I want to walk through them with you. He says this: when you go to prayer, have no will of your own in the matter. It's kind of hard to do sometimes, but you go to prayer and you say, God, I want to be open. I want you to direct me. Number two, seek the will of God in direct connection with the Word of God. Let me explain this one. If you and I don't spend time in the Word of God, reading a chapter or two a day, whatever it might be, it cannot shape our hearts to receive the answer. But when we do spend time in his Word, here's what happens. God will take your heart, he will take his Word, he will shape it and mold it and melt it and fashion it in such a way that the answer can be dropped into a fertile bed. Your heart. And you'll know the decision you'll need to make. So the Word of God helps prepare for the answer that God will drop into our life, but we have to seek him and read his Word. Number three, circumstances will agree with the Word of God. You know, this one's interesting. We do need to allow circumstances to tell us if things are lining up, if we should make a certain decision. There's sometimes I thought I had it figured out, but it just didn't add up, line up. And you got to listen to circumstances. Sometimes you got to push through them. So this one is interesting. You have to discern, okay, God, are circumstances just a challenge or is it a barrier that I'm going to hold back on? Number four, ask God to reveal his will in prayer. Here's the insight. Go before him and say, God, I'm going to read your word and I'm going to ask you, what do you want me to do in this situation? Just ask him. And then finally, number five, I love this one. Through prayer and study of the word, the voice of the Spirit gives peace. I think everybody here has been in a situation where you're going to make a decision about something and you have a choice. And you say, you know, I'd like to do this, but I don't have peace about it. I don't feel comfortable with it. Not sure why, it's an instinct. And you don't have peace. Let me tell you, when God directs people, his children, he will stamp it with peace. There's been other times where I've had a choice and sometimes I get it right, sometimes not. But sometimes I'll get a clear-cut peace stamped on the decision that I want to make. And when peace, when you follow that, you can be sure God is confirming your choice. Do I feel comfortable? Do I not? Do I have peace? Do I not? So those are some ideas of how to seek and discern God's will. Here's a couple quotes. God rewards those who diligently seek him. If you put the time in before God, reading his word, and then praying, and you diligently seek him, I'll guarantee you something. If you stick with it, you'll figure it out. He will give you an answer. That's who he is. He promises he will reward those who diligently seek him. Here's another one. I believe that God has a plan, and it's your job to show up with an open heart. If you have some big plans, that's okay. But when you come into his presence, surrender them and say, okay, is this any good? There's many times where I thought my plan was the big way. I've gotten it wrong. I need to back off. I need to surrender it. But go in with an open heart and an open mind and say, God, I want what you want for me. Okay, let's go to the fourth one. The fourth point is this. After you know he has a plan, you trust him for it, you seek him to discern it, you then listen for the still small voice. You listen for this voice inwardly. Let's read together the verses in your notes. It's about Elijah. He just had a showdown with the prophets on Mount Carmel, and he's seeking God for direction, and let's read these together. Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice." Here's what happened. Elijah was seeking guidance, and he's listening for God to speak. And there was a strong wind, there was an earthquake, there was a fire. You know, we often want to have the big splash. God just shouted out to me, "What do you want me to do?" I mean, sometimes he does that, but oftentimes not. You know how he speaks? A still, small voice. Another translation calls it a gentle whisper. Where does he whisper? In our hearts, in our spirits. And so Elijah's teaching us a huge lesson. If you're trying to figure out a decision for your future, hey, you know God's got a plan. The circumstances are a little wacky. I'm going to wait it out through trust and faith. I'm going to seek God to discern it. But here's the key. God speaks to people who take time to listen. If you and I don't listen, we're not going to hear the still, small voice. If we do, we will be in tune with the gentle whisper to make the decision of whether to go to the right or to the left. Got a few quotes as I finish up here. Here's the first one. "Silence is the room we create for the searching of God, where we hear his voice and follow." Create some silence in your life. And when you tune into God, it is in that room or that space where he will communicate through the still, small voice. Here's another one. "Don't let the noise of the world keep you from hearing the voice of God himself." You know, we live in a hurried society. We're fast-paced. We're on the move. And we have television. We have our phones. There's noise all over the place. And we have voices all the time coming into our hearts and lives. And we have the voices of friends. We have the voice of our own head. We have the voices of media. And there's noise out there. And if we don't tune into the right frequency of the right voice, we'll never hear the still small voice. Here's another one. "To hear God's voice, turn down the world's volume." You know what this means? When you get up in the morning or when you go to bed at night, make sure you have a room for some silence. Read God's word. Read a devotional book. Do something. Read a chapter. Say, "God, okay, here's what's going on in my life." You turn down the volume of the other voices. If you want to leave here with something to really hands-on, when you and I intentionally turn down the volume of other voices, we are making room for the voice of God to speak into our life through the still, small voice, the gentle whisper of his leading. Here's the last slide. God is found not in the wind, nor in the earthquake, nor in the fire, but in the still, small voice. Benjamin Watson, I know God has a plan for me. I just don't know what it is. Well, the way we figure it out, we believe he's got a plan. We know he does. Number two, you got to trust him until he reveals to us what that is, even when circumstances, and especially when circumstances are going the other direction. It's called faith. Number three, we spend time seeking him. We're going to deposit ourselves in his presence. Be intentional. And finally, number four, create space in your life, even if it's a few minutes, where you turn down the volume of the other voices of the world. And you get with the Word of God, you ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, and you listen. God delights to speak to people who takes the time to listen. And when you listen, you will know what Jeremiah 29:11 says. I know the plans that God has for me. Plans to prosper me, not to harm me, to give me a hope and a future. And each person here can lay hold of it today and tomorrow when we allow God that place in our life. Let's pray. I want you to take just a few moments of silence. You probably got something in your life you're not sure what to do. Spread it out before the Lord. Just say, God, here it is. I'm confused. I'm not sure what to do. Just do that right now. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person here and everyone listening online that you'll be our God, and the plans that you have for us that have been written in a book, we want it. We want that most of all every day of our life. We want what's best for us, not what we think is good for us, but what you've planned for us, because it will prosper us and it'll be good for us. I pray for every person here that we will make the changes we need to make to be a good listener, to seek silence, to seek your face, to allow your word to condition our heart, to make it soft, to prepare our hearts for the still small voice, your gentle whisper, to direct our lives. Father, we sang the song that you are so faithful and you're good to us, and We just lean into that today, praying that as we surrender our past and find your forgiveness, then today and tomorrow can be a better day, because we want what is in your book, what you've prepared, what you've called us to do, what you want us to fulfill, people you want us to bless, ways that you want to bless us. Oh God, help us to be children who take time to listen and allow the still small voice to direct our lives. And for this, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.